Welcome to The Truth About Lending. I'm Melinda Payan, the president and owner of The Truth About Lending. I've been a licensed mortgage broker for over 25 years and bring you clear and straightforward insights on everything from securing your initial home purchase to refinancing your house or obtaining condo financing in Florida's dynamic lending market. Now let's get into The Truth About Lending. No, you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home. Good afternoon and welcome to today's session. We are going to talk about refinancing and consolidating debt and if it is a smart move to consolidate debt through refinancing. So everybody knows that the interest rates have gone up a lot in the last few years. And so this is really a good question for people to try to understand. Many of us have a very low interest rate on their mortgage, and we have possibly some higher interest rate debt. So we're really going to look at today, what are the options? What can you do? And does it make sense or does it not make sense? So first, let me say that if you're looking to refinance your existing mortgage and you have an interest rate that's, let's say it's below 6%, it's probably not a good idea to refinance just yet unless there are other reasons why you would be refinancing, which is what we're going to talk about today. So if you're just looking at refinancing only to lower your monthly payment, you're not looking for cash out, you're not looking to consolidate debt, you're not looking to do a home improvement loan, it's not yet time to refinance. Now, the time is probably coming sometime in the next year. We are going to start seeing interest rates go down at some point. When that happens, if you are a client of The Truth About Lending, we will let you know. We'll keep you posted. We'll reach out to you. But in the interim, there may be a lot of people trying to solicit you to look at refinancing. And to them, I would say, hey, it's not time just yet. Remember, this is only if you're looking to refinance your existing mortgage. So you don't have any other reason. There's no other debt. There's nothing else going on. You're just refinancing your existing loan and you're trying to get a lower payment. For those people, I would say wait, okay? Because lower interest rates are coming. It's not just a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And I think once they do start lowering interest rates, we're going to see rates continue to go down for some time. So we really need to evaluate your individual situation. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about two other options: a debt consolidation refinance and a home improvement refinance, are options to be able to allow you to access your home equity. So really what we're talking about today is consolidating debt and does it make sense? But we're going to touch on a lot of other things. First of all, for those who are out there and have credit card debt outstanding, or they have some type of higher interest rate debt. Doesn't necessarily have to be credit cards. It could be something else that's a higher interest rate debt. It might make sense for you to consolidate debt. So let's just look at this. Right now, there's a lot of people out there that do have a tremendous amount of credit card debt or other higher interest rate debt, especially with everything that has happened with the inflation and the costs going up over the last few years. A lot of people have had to delve into their credit cards or really try to take other loans out there to keep up with the cost of living. And we see that very often. So what has happened is that many people may have credit card debt that could be at 20%, 25%, 29% interest rate, very high credit card debt. Okay. So we then have to look at your individual situation and say, hey, if you have a mortgage that's 4% and you have credit card debt that's at 30%, what really is your blended interest rate? In other words, if you're paying 4% interest on $400,000, and then you're paying 30% interest on $100,000. Your mortgage interest rate isn't really your blended rate that you're paying collectively for debts, or your household rate, or your total cost of your debts is really not representative by your mortgage rate. So at that point, we have to look and see, does it make sense for you to do a debt consolidation loan where you're refinancing your first mortgage into a higher rate, but you're bringing the other debt down to a considerably lower rate? Or does it make sense for us to do a debt consolidation second mortgage for you, which is typically in anywhere from 9 to 11% interest rate, still higher than your mortgage rate. But then in that case, we might be leaving your first mortgage alone and just consolidating that higher credit card debt into a lower interest rate. So now we have to evaluate that situation based on your own personalized situation and what your intentions are with the debt consolidation. For example, if you're looking at consolidating a smaller portion of debt, or perhaps a lower loan amount than what we would think would make sense to do a complete refi, then that's something that we would probably tell you, hey, let's just look at doing a second mortgage. For example, if you have a $400,000 first mortgage and you only need $50,000 of debt consolidation, in that case, we may just leave your first mortgage at the lower interest rate and suggest you to do a debt consolidation second mortgage. So now let's just delve into second mortgages and talk a little bit about what options you have for debt consolidation second mortgages, okay? Not just debt consolidation, but also being able to access some equity in your house, because maybe it's not just debt consolidation. Maybe you need to do some home improvements. Maybe you're looking to add a pool for the summer. Maybe you're looking to add a bedroom. Maybe there's a kitchen that you need to remodel. Whatever the case may be, maybe you're looking at accessing some of your equity and you're really not sure how to do it because you may have a really low interest rate on your first mortgage. Now, let me preface this by saying that if you do decide to take a second mortgage on the property, then more than likely, once the rates start coming down, we'll then look at consolidating the first mortgage and the second mortgage together into one new low interest rate. But for now, that total refinance might not make sense. So if we're looking at doing a debt consolidation loan or a home improvement loan with just a second mortgage, you have a few options. Okay, let's talk about the options. The first option is an equity line. An equity line has its pluses and its minuses. The second option is a fixed rate mortgage. Let's talk about the differences between the two. An equity line is basically like a credit card. If you use it, you pay on it. If you don't use it, you don't pay on it. Now, that's great because maybe you just want to have a small amount of debt consolidated, pay it off, and then you won't have a payment, but you can still access that line of credit. So that could be something that could be beneficial to you, especially if you think you're going to pay it off quickly and you just really want to have the flexibility of being able to access it when you need and not access it or not use it or not pay interest on it when you don't want to use it. Because it's very possible that you're going to be able to pay off that equity line or be in a situation where you really are not having to pay interest on that mortgage because of the fact that you got a bonus at work or you got an inheritance or whatever the case may be. You don't need the equity line any longer, so you want to pay it off, but you still want to keep it open. So equity lines are great from that flexibility. Now, the bad part of an equity line is that it is a variable interest rate. It is not a fixed interest rate. It's a variable rate. It's tied to an index, which in this case is called prime rate. So it's tied to a specific index that is directly controlled by the Federal Reserve. So currently the prime rate is at 8.5%. And then there's a margin that is added to that index. And that is generally like prime plus 2, prime plus 1, prime plus 3/4. So it really depends on how much equity you have in the property type, the property occupancy, and also your credit score. So your rate can be anywhere from 9.25 up to 11.5. Or higher. It just depends on your overall situation. So what's important to understand is that an equity line is a variable interest rate, but it gives you the flexibility of using it, paying it down, using it, paying it down. Now, some other positive things about an equity line is that you can just keep an equity line open for, in many cases, up to 10 years, not use it and not pay any interest on it. Now, some negative things about an equity line: in the event that something happens with your credit, in any situation, you co-sign for your cousin and your cousin pays their car payment late, whatever, something that is not necessarily your fault, beyond your control, if you get something negatively affecting your credit, just like a credit card, an equity line can also change, meaning they can close the line of credit. They can say, hey, we see that something happened with your credit, so we're not going to allow you to access it anymore. We're just going to freeze it at the current balance, or if it's already a zero balance, we're just going to close the account. Or let's say you've used only $50,000 of a $100,000 line of credit. They can say, hey, we're freezing it now and you're not allowed to use more than the $50,000 you've already used. So that's a negative thing about an equity line. Also, if God forbid there was some kind of economic turmoil or something that happened in the world that was an extreme situation, they can also freeze an equity line or lower the amount that you could use for the equity line. So there is some risk involved with the equity lines. But for the most part, usually those are extreme situations and you should be able to continue accessing it. Now, an equity line generally has a 30-year amortization, meaning that it's like a 30-year loan, like a 30-year mortgage, but the first 10 years is usually the draw period. Now, there's some exceptions to that. There are some loans out there where the draw period is a shorter period. The draw period means the time you can access the money. How long do you have to be able to use it, pay it down, use it, pay it down, something like that, okay? Sometimes there are some programs that will offer you a better interest rate for a shorter draw period. For example, instead of giving you 10 years to use it, access it, use it, and access it, they might say, we'll give you 2 years or we'll give you 5 years, but we're going to give you a better interest rate. So these are all things that are very particular to equity lines that we have to evaluate with your individual situation. Now, one of the things that we need to look at in reference to an equity line is that the prime rate has already gone up a considerable amount of money. Now, we're a considerable amount of interest rate rises, I should say. So the prime rate's already gone up about 4% or more over the last few years. So the risk of it continuing to go up, it's probably very slim, but there is no cap on an equity line. In other words, if tomorrow the Federal Reserve said, hey, we're going to change the prime rate from 8.5% to 20.5%, you have no protection on your line of credit. Now, that is very a far-fetched situation that would not normally happen. Usually, if they raise rates, it's a quarter or a half or something like that at a time. And we just have left an environment, we've just past a time in history where the prime rate has more than doubled. So the risk of it going up is probably slim, but you need to understand that there isn't a cap. There isn't anything that says, hey guys, this will never go more than a certain percent. Now, on the flip side of that, if you do get an equity line, usually whatever the interest rate is that you start at is the lowest it can go. Like, it generally will not go lower with the prime rate. Hey, I don't make the rules. I'm just the messengers, but the banks do this because they know if rates go down, they'll start earning less money. So generally there's a floor. The lowest it'll go is where you started. Okay. Now, there's some exceptions to that too, but for the most part, that's what you're going to be looking at. That is an equity line. An equity line might be a good idea if the money is not needed on the long term. If it's something where, hey, I'm going to consolidate this debt and I think I'm going to pay it off in a year or two, or I have a big bonus check coming in, whatever the case may be, but it's something where you know you have a game plan of how to pay it off, okay? Now, let's talk about an equity loan. An equity, home equity loan is a fixed rate second mortgage that goes against your property. This is not a refinance. This is not an equity line. This is very similar to the first mortgage, whereas it's a fixed amount. You get all the money up front. Your payment stays the same. Where when you get an equity line, you don't have to use the entire thing up front. Your payment does not stay the same. If you got a $100,000 equity line, you don't have to use the entire $100,000. You could use $10,000, $20,000, $100,000. You could use whatever you want. You could pay it down and your payment goes down. But with a fixed rate second mortgage, you get all the money up front and your payment is the same. It doesn't matter if next month you decide that you're going to take $50,000 from your retirement and pay it down, your payment will stay the same. Now, there's some exceptions to that. Some lenders will allow a recasting or a new amortization schedule to be done if there is a large principal payment, but you can't count on that because it's really on a lender by lender basis. So you just have to assume that your payment will stay the same for a second mortgage. So a fixed rate second mortgage has a fixed rate and a fixed payment and a longer amortization, a 30-year amortization. Now, the equity lines do have a 30-year amortization, but remember what I said with an equity line, you have the first 10 years to be able to draw it and draw from it, and then you have to start paying it back. The differences with a fixed rate second mortgage, I shouldn't say it has a longer amortization, but it has an amortization that's a little bit different because with an equity line, when you have that draw period, they give you an option to pay interest only or principal and interest. So you may not have paid your entire loan in full by the end of the 30 years. There may be some funds that balloon with an equity line if you only pay interest only. With a fixed rate second mortgage, it's just like a mortgage. It's a fixed payment, a fixed interest rate. You're paying principal and interest. And the longest amortization you could go is a 30-year amortization. Now, let's talk about this. Why would you do a fixed rate? Well, the security of knowing that your payment would never go higher. You may not have the ability to pay back the loan in a few years or less. You may need to be able to access a higher amount of money because it's a little bit easier, just a little bit, to qualify for a higher loan amount with a fixed rate second mortgage versus an equity line. For example, on an equity line, when we go to qualify you, we have to add a certain percentage to the interest rate to qualify you. It's called a qualifying interest rate. And that takes into account the fact that it's a variable interest rate and could fluctuate. So on an equity line, you might qualify for $75,000, but on an equity loan, a fixed rate second mortgage, you may qualify for $125,000. So there's a big difference between what you can qualify for. Now, let's get back to the scenario about debt consolidation. If you have a 4% interest rate and you have $100,000 of debt out there on credit cards and high interest rate debt, it may make sense for us to look at doing either an equity line or an equity loan for you to consolidate everything to a lower interest rate. Because even if you're going to an interest rate that's somewhere between 9% to 11%, it's still lower than 29% or 32%. So it really does help you from, number one, a cash flow perspective because your monthly payments will be a lot less. And number two, from a taxable perspective, you're going to have a tax benefit from the interest from the mortgage. So right now, if you're paying credit card debt of 29% or 30% interest, you have no taxable benefit. The interest is not tax deductible. So when you consolidate everything into a mortgage and it then becomes mortgage interest, now you're looking at having a taxable benefit from the interest that you're paying. It's a tax deduction versus not having a tax deduction. So there's something that's called, it's called a taxable equivalent yield, just to make things a little bit more complicated than what I've already explained. But basically what it is, it's looking at the interest rate from a perspective of how this benefits you. If you have a interest rate at 11% that's non-taxable or a tax deduction, that really may be looked at like a 9% interest rate because of the tax benefit that you're getting. And that's what that analysis is. But besides that, it's important to understand that there may be some tax benefits for you to consolidate the other debt that you have outstanding into either an equity line or an equity loan. And these are all things that we look at when we're giving you an evaluation. Now, once you come to us, we look at your credit scores, we look at your income, we look at all these options, and we will let you know what is beneficial to you. There might be a need to do a complete refinance. It just depends on your situation. Now, the interest rates for a complete refinance may make more sense for you if you need a larger amount of money, if you have more debt you need to consolidate, or you need a larger amount of money to do home improvement loans. We really have to evaluate your particular situation. The good news is that we're going to be honest with you and tell you, hey, this is what you're looking at. This is what makes sense. And this is what we think you should do. Now, I also want to mention something to you in reference to second mortgages. We have a lot of options out there for people who need alternative income documentation. So if you are self-employed and you've been denied for a home equity line, or you're an investor and you own a property in a corporate name and you want to do a no income verification loan, we actually do have second mortgages that are fixed rate second mortgages. These are not home equity lines. These are home equity loans. And there are programs out there that we can give you to look at or present to you to determine if it's something you'd like to do. So if you've been denied for a home equity line or a home equity loan, please reach out to us. We do have some no income verification options available or reduced income verification options available that we can go over with you and determine if that makes sense. Okay, now let's talk about qualifying for second mortgage liens, okay? Whether it's a home equity line or a home equity loan, it's probably a second mortgage of some kind. It's in second position because you have an existing mortgage, okay? Let's just assume you have an existing mortgage. The requirements, or the credit score requirements, I should say, are a lot tougher to qualify for than a first mortgage, okay? So if you come to us and you have a 600 credit score, you're not going to have any options to do a home equity line or a home equity loan in the second position. But you may have an option to do a first mortgage, debt consolidation loan, or cash out refinance loan. So these are things that we're going to look at and say, hey, this is what we feel your unique situation is. You don't qualify for a second mortgage, but you can qualify for XYZ, whatever that may be. And then we can evaluate your situation. Now, let's talk about debt consolidation and home improvement loans. So there are a lot of home improvement loans out there that people look at to either put a roof on their property or to put a pool or to do a remodel or whatever the case may be. And there's some really great programs that might have zero interest rate for a year or two, whatever the case may be. There's like a temporary time period where the interest rate is zero. One thing to watch with that is that if you go past the time period that they give you this introductory zero interest rate for 12 months or 18 months or whatever the case may be, if you go past that time period, the interest is actually retroactive to when you started. And it's usually 29%, 25% or something like that. So it's super, super important. If you think, hey, I'm paying zero interest on this right now, be hyper aware of the deadlines that you have with those kind of a loan, that kind of a loan, because you might be in a situation where, hey, you know, you're going to pay a tremendous amount of interest on this loan, and we need to do something before that happens. Okay. That's the first thing. The second thing is that if you're looking to do a home improvement loan and you're only looking to do something that is with energy efficient reasons, like you need a new roof, you need a new water heater, you need insulation, you need new windows, like impact windows, you need new, did I say water heater? Let's see, water heater, air condition, any of those things that are energy efficient type of things. There is a program called Y-Green or PACE. It's a clean energy assessment loan. Those interest rates might be something that could work for you. There is no loan officer that offers those programs. You have to go directly through the program to be able to use that program. It's not credit score driven, and the interest rates are generally fixed. It becomes a tax assessment on your property taxes, and so your property taxes go up quite a bit as a result of that. Generally, there shouldn't be a prepayment penalty on it, but you'd have to speak with them directly. That might be a good option to do if you're looking at only needing to replace a roof or only needing to replace something that involves energy efficiency. Now, if you are paying your taxes and your insurance with your mortgage payment, that means ultimately once the property tax assessment hits the taxes, your payment will go up. But again, this is something that we could look at refinancing down the road and consolidating into one new loan once the interest rates come down. Okay. So that might be an option for home improvements if you're specifically looking at home improvements. Now, let's talk about refinancing student loan debt or consolidating student loan debt. Generally speaking, this is not a good idea. Usually you can consolidate the debt or get a lower interest rate by going to a student loan servicer. And in those cases, it's usually a lot easier to refinance or consolidate student loan debt. It's not generally a good idea to include it with your mortgage. Usually there are lower interest rates available to be able to consolidate it on your own. Now, having said that, there could be a situation where that doesn't apply, but generally that is not the case. So consolidating student loan debt is not something that makes sense. It is something that you would want to keep separate and deal only with the servicer. Okay. So the other thing I also want to mention is that when you do consolidate debt, especially credit card debt, your credit score generally will go way up afterwards. So if you have credit cards that are all maxed out and we consolidate all of them into one new loan, now you have all this credit card debt that is paid off and zero balances, and your utilization rate is very low. So now your scores should go way up after you do this debt consolidation. And that should potentially help you later on to be able to consolidate everything once the rates go lower, if that's something that applies to your situation. One of the other things that I want to talk about that a lot of people don't realize, when you're getting a home equity line versus a home equity loan, a home equity line reports very similar to a credit card. So if you get a $100,000 home equity line and you use $100,000, it's like you're maxed out a credit card, okay? It's a revolving trade line. So that actually can negatively affect your credit. Now, if you're consolidating 15 credit cards into that one new thing, it should overall have a good result on your credit because you're making so many other accounts zero. But a home equity line if you're using more than 50% of the available credit limit, will have a negative effect compared to a home equity loan. Now, it depends on what you're using it for. Remember what I just said. If you're consolidating all of these credit cards that are maxed out, your scores are going to go up regardless of whether it's a home equity line or home equity loan. But in the long run, the utilization rate does come into play on a home equity line versus a fixed rate home equity loan, because a fixed rate home equity loan reports as installment debt, which is looked at differently from a credit perspective than revolving debt. So guys, when does it make sense to do a complete refinance and consolidate debt and do a home, get some cash out for home improvements, or maybe it's your daughter's wedding coming up or whatever the case may be? When does that make sense? Well, if your credit score is not high enough, then you may need to only be able to do, you might only be able to do a first mortgage refinance, okay? Or if you are in a position where you need so much funds that it's almost equal to your first mortgage, that's something that we can look at. Like, for example, let's say you have a $200,000 first mortgage at 4% interest rate, and then you need $200,000 for your daughter's wedding, for home improvements, for debt consolidation, whatever the case may be. And we're looking at the second mortgages for you. And the second mortgage is at 11%, let's say, based on your credit score, your scenario, it's at 11%. Well, if you have 200,000 at 4% and you have 200,000 at 11%, we add that together, okay? 4 plus 11 is 15 divided by 2. Now you're at an average interest rate of 7.5% on $400,000 of debt. That might not make sense. It might make more sense to just get you a lower interest rate in the sixes, even though ultimately rates are going to go down. So this is something that we're going to have to evaluate. It really just depends on how much do you owe on your first mortgage? What is the interest rate on the first mortgage? How long do you plan on continuing to live in this house? What is your intention or use with these funds? This is something we're going to look at globally. Now, it's really important to understand that many loan officers or people who are in the mortgage profession really are just great people that are looking to give you advice as mortgage advisors, okay? But then there's a select few that are out there that are really just looking to line their pocketbook and maybe recommending a complete refinance for you because they'll make more money on a complete refinance. So it's important that you're working with somebody who's going to give you honest advice, who's not just looking to be your loan officer, but is really kind of looking to be an advisor and say to you, hey, this doesn't make sense. Let's just do a small line of credit for you, and later on, we'll consolidate it once the interest rates go down. It really just depends on your situation. Now, generally speaking, a consolidation loan, if you're doing a second mortgage, cannot exceed 90% of your total equity. Let's say the house is worth $600,000, or let's just to keep numbers simple, let's say the house is worth $500,000, okay? So 90% of $500,000 is $450,000. So your total liens on the property cannot exceed $450,000. Meaning if you have a mortgage already for $400,000, you're going to be able to get a line of credit for about $50,000. If you have a mortgage available, you have a mortgage right now for $350,000, you may be able to get a line of credit for $100,000 because the total between all of your liens generally cannot exceed 90% of the total value of the property. Now, on a first mortgage refinance, on a complete consolidation, it can't exceed 80%. So if you're at a value of 500,000 and you are doing a complete refinance, we cannot exceed total liens of $400,000. So right there and then we'll know straight out, hey, listen, this person has a mortgage of $400,000 and they need $50,000 on their house. Well, we already know it makes no sense to do a complete refinance because you wouldn't be able to access any additional equity. We would just tell you straight out, hey, here are your options. You can either do home equity line, home equity loan, and then we can go from there and see what's available for you. So they're a little bit more lenient on how much equity that you can access, but they are stricter on the credit score and some other things come into play also as well. Anyways, that has been today's session about consolidating debt. Is it worth it? Is it not worth it? We really encourage you to speak with one of our loan officers. Visit thetruthaboutlending.com. Give us a call at 888-76-TRUTH. We will give you a very honest approach on all of these options. We'll sit down with you. We will go over all of your debts. We'll go over what you're trying to do. Are you trying to consolidate debt and get cash? Are you trying to just consolidate the debt? Maybe you have no debt and you need the cash for something, and so you have to get an equity line for something that's coming up, or you're just looking to do home improvements. But we will literally sit with you and say, okay, if you were to take cash out of the house on a complete refinance, this is what your payment would be, and it does or does not make sense. Or if we do a second mortgage, this is what you're looking at a potential payment. And when you combine that with your current mortgage payment, this is what your true housing expense is. Or if you're doing a debt consolidation loan, we will add up all your credit cards and say, hey, you're paying $1,500 a month of minimum payments. That is getting you nowhere, paying 33% interest rate on these credit cards. And this is what your new payment's going to be, which is generally much lower than what you're currently paying right now. So you're going to save that cash flow. So the payment may drop from $1,500 a month of minimum payments to maybe a $400 monthly payment because it's spread out over a longer period of time. It's spread out over 30 years. But if you take that same amount of money that you've been dishing out for these minimum payments and you send that in as principal reductions, now you're looking at turning that 30-year second mortgage into maybe a 5-year or a 10-year second mortgage and paying things off much quicker at the flexibility that you want, because maybe there are some months that you want to send in that extra money that you're used to paying on these credit cards, or maybe there are some months that you're like, hey, I need this. It's, you know, there's some kind of situation with my car or some situation with the house, or I need this extra money to be able to survive, whatever the case may be. But you have that flexibility by consolidating the debt into a lower interest rate tax deductible loan. Now, there are some exceptions to that tax deductibleness. So you do want to speak to your CPA. If you have mortgage interest that exceeds $1 million of over $1 million of loans, there's some exceptions to that. You do want to speak to a CPA. I'm not a CPA, so I'm not getting tax advice. But in a lot of cases, it is tax deductible. So you do want to speak with your accountant about that. Okay. Anyways, thank you so much again for joining us today. We are excited about being able to bring honest and ethical advice to you, the consumer. We will continue to give you guys great advice on all of the different options that are out there. We have some real exciting videos coming up next week or coming up. We're talking about investment properties, and then we're going to take a closer look at the Florida condo market. So please like us, follow us, subscribe to us on YouTube, and you can always visit us online at thetruthaboutlending.com or give us a call at 888-76-TRUTH, and have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Truth About Lending. Stay up to date with all Florida loan and mortgage news by subscribing to our channel and help us grow so we can continue bringing you insight and advice. Please like, share, and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can find the links to all our social media profiles in the description. You can find extra resources on our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. If you have any questions about Florida mortgages, we are licensed and ready to talk to you today. Call us at 888-76-TRUTH. That's 888-768-7884. You can also email us at melinda@ttal.info or visit us at our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. Until next time, remember, the truth about lending is out there for you.
No, you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place your home.